Quincy fell silent. She was in a mood tonight. "Do you want a solution, Rainey?" he asked after a moment. "Or do you want an excuse to be angry?"
"I want a solution."
"Fine," he said crisply. "I'll give you my 2 cents for what it's worth. Society isn't filled with evil souls, but it is filled with people who are mobile, fractured, overworked, overweight, overcrowded, and overtired. That's a potent combination, particularly for people with poor coping skills and volatile tempers. And we're seeing the proof of that in the increasing number of impulsive, angry acts, such as mass murders and road rage." Rainey sighed. She rubbed her temples. "It's a sign of the times?"
"It's a sign of stressful living," Quincy said, then shrugged. "In the good news department, some of the solutions are fairly simple. Why not teach rage management classes and stress coping skills in school? While we're at it, we could emphasize good communication skills and self-monitoring. Physical care also makes a big difference. In fact, the first thing a child psychologist does when he begins treatment of a new client is address sleep, exercise, and eating habits. You think you have trouble with rage? Try getting 8 hours of sleep at night, eat more fruits and vegetables, and enjoy a good workout." Ironically enough, very few people bother with these basic steps anymore, and then they wonder why they're tense all the time.
He gave her a pointed look, his gaze sliding to the untouched carton of food by her side. Rainey nodded slowly. She said almost hesitantly, "I took a class in anger management."
"In Portland?"
"Yes. After I'd completed AA, when I was still struggling. Alcohol numbs a lot of emotions. Then you give it up."
"I think that was a great thing for you to do," Quincy said honestly. "I wish more people would think that way."
Rainey immediately shook her head. "I'm not so great, Quincy. Don't admire me too much." He didn't say anything, waiting to see if she would elaborate. The darkness still rimmed her eyes, and she was clutching her cup of tea as if she wished it were a bottle of beer. Apparently, however, she still wasn't in the mood to share.
"How's your daughter?"
she asked shortly.
"The same. I called this morning."
She regarded him curiously.
"That doesn't make you feel worse?"
"She's your daughter. She's dying. And you're not there for it. A phone call doesn't seem like much in the face of all that."